Joining us now, senior fertilizer analyst at StoneX, Mike Castle. Mike, welcome back to the show. It's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Doing great. Good to be back with you.
Well, a lot going on here when it comes to fertilizer, price action, and more, Mike. And we were chatting about this before the show, some of the geopolitical concern now with Russia's drones flying over Poland and more here overnight. And so there's a lot to unpack in just in terms of the geopolitics side of this, but as well as price action too. So get us up to speed. What are you tracking in fertilizer prices this week?
Yeah, this would normally be a pretty quiet time in the fertilizer market with everyone kind of, you know, focused on the end of the growing season, harvest season, preparations for fall applications, kind of getting underway. But there's been a lot of excitement on the global market here recently, with a lot of it kind of centering around India. Pretty much the entire nitrogen market, globally speaking, has been watching this most recent India tender, where they're trying to buy 2 million tons of urea. And basically, the bottom line is they got offered significantly more than expected, about 5.6 million, while, again, they were looking for 2 million tons. And the biggest change here has been, you know, obviously with our trade tensions with both China and India, and others around the world, we're kind of starting to see China and India warm up to one another a bit more. And that has been, you know, quite bearish for the global urea market, because that's allowing China to sell urea directly to India, which, obviously on its surface, that sounds like it's got nothing to do with us, right? But every ton of urea that China is selling to India is a ton that they don't have to buy from the Middle East or from Russia, North Africa, wherever else, which is who we get our imports from. So basically, China participating in this tender frees up a bunch of other tons that can flow this direction or elsewhere in the global market. And that's put a lot of downside pressure on prices. So we've seen NOLA urea values fall about 50 to 60 bucks a ton here in the last few weeks. Obviously, that's great news from the farm perspective. We want to see, prices kind of coming down, especially with affordability looking so poor, given how cheap grain is. And overall, you know, we've been waiting for the final results of this tender for over a week now. Offers, the cheapest one was down about 70 bucks a ton from their last one. And they counterbid everybody and initially got acceptances of about 3.8 million tons, but then reversed course and now are capping their purchases at 2 million, which means those other 1.8 million tons that wanted to make this sale now have to go somewhere else. So what I would expect to happen is that they'll come back with another tender for similar volumes here in the next couple of weeks. And I would expect that to be met with lower offers yet again as those tons try to find home somewhere else. And again, this all really ties back to China, because they are expected to disappear again and go back to restricting exports ahead of their own fall application season. It'll be starting up around the same time as ours here in the next couple months. So we expect to see them disappear, let's say, using easy numbers at the end of next month. So they've still got about 3.5 million tons that they can export over, the August, October period. So, about 1.2 million tons a month that they need to send somewhere, and India clearly is the best destination for that. So if they do tender again here in the next couple of weeks, I would expect a lot of that to be sourced from China. And because of that, I would expect prices to go down. So overall, again, that's good news. It's bearish globally, but I will throw in the big caveat here now. As this relates directly to the U.S., is the, tensions that you kind of alluded to there, seeing Russian drones over Poland getting shot down, kind of an escalation with a NATO member, and kind of following a trend of Russia, recently ramping up their probes of kind of the neighbors of Ukraine here lately, kind of violating airspace here and there, whether it's in Estonia, Romania, Poland, quite a few times before this. It seems like they're kind of trying to feel for what they could get away with. And the reason that matters for us is Russia is our top source of both urea and UAN. So domestic nitrogen prices are, directly impacted by our trade with Russia. And as of right now, we have 0% tariffs in place on them. So they're by far our cheapest origin. And the EU just put tariffs in place on Russian fertilizer here that went into effect on July 1st. And we saw the impact of that in July, with a lot of U.S. UAN flowing that direction now. Instead of buying from Russia, they're having to go elsewhere, and a lot of that is shifting to us, which means less domestic available supply, right? Because we're exporting more. Obviously, we only have the hard data for July so far, but it sounds like August, and so far here early this month, we've seen a lot more UAN getting exported. And assuming, again, a lot of that is heading to the EU because they can't buy it from Russia, which means we have to replace that with Russian imports. So with all that said, we saw Trump this morning send out a post on Truth Social just saying, what's with Russia violating Poland's airspace with drones? And then here we go. So he's kind of been threatening sanctions or tariffs or whatever, whatever punitive measure would be that could cut off trade would be very bullish for the domestic nitrogen market, because now we're going to have to go back to importing from elsewhere, and we're going to go back to importing from someone with tariffs in place, which is the only one that's avoiding this year. Mm-hmm. While the global market is certainly feeling more bearish because of what's going on with this, situation in the India tender and China selling them more tons, we may kind of end up missing out on that if we do see some kind of measures put in place on Russia. So again, it's very unknown at this point what's going to happen. We've seen a lot of these threats before, and they haven't really led to anything. So we're continuing to see Russian products flow this direction, even though you wouldn't expect that. But if we were to see something actually take place that cuts that flow off, that would feel a lot more bullish on the nitrogen side of things.
Real quick, any thoughts in the grain trade here midweek? Kind of chopping lower. Just feels like we're marking time until Friday's WASDE report, Mike.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I'm guessing we're going to stay pretty quiet until Friday's report. With how dry we've turned off here in August, expectations are to see some yield cuts. The average estimate on corn yields expected to fall down to 186.2. That would be down 2.6 bushels an acre from August. And on beans at 53.3, that'd be down 0.3 from August, which is kind of surprising to see the soybean side not having, kind of the bigger impact given how important August weather is there. But overall, that's pretty much what everybody's waiting to see. And also, what's the USDA going to do on the demand side? They really have inflated the demand numbers, specifically on corn, like the feed number, for example, with the expectation of being able to walk down that yield number and, kind of walk demand down with it. But, speaking of demand, obviously, our trade tensions with China are kind of one of the biggest things that everybody's been keeping an eye on, especially with the fact that we've got no soybeans sold to them at this point. And we just saw China import another record amount of soybeans in August, kind of raising questions about how much they will buy here. But I will throw out one bit of good news we've seen here this morning. There were reports of about 300,000 tons of Milo being sold to Pakistan. So, again, we've got no Milo sold to China. They're typically our top destination there as well. I think USDA's export number on that side is way overstated because of the fact that we don't have anything going to China. But it is kind of a sign of if we don't have Chinese demand, there's still other homes out there. Obviously not at the same volume, but again, it's a step in the right direction. Kind of the best news we've seen in the Milo market for quite some time here. So overall, again, still have to keep an eye on what goes on here with China. It's obviously, with the fact that we're in mid-September, becoming less and less likely. We see something happen that can get us, some demand for fall, for when we would typically be pumping out our soybeans, which is going to create a lot of headaches on the space side of things. What are elevators going to have to do to handle not only a huge crop, but a soybean crop that can't really flow where it typically would be. But overall, again, it's kind of just kind of sitting on our hands here, waiting until Friday's report and, kind of reacting to the news as we see it.
Well, always appreciate the time and the conversation. I know folks can go to StoneX.com for more information. With that, Senior Fertilizer Analyst at StoneX, Mike Castle, good to talk with you again, sir. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Yep, thank you very much.